Hello and welcome to this special one-to-one edition of Women's Soccer Zone. I have one of my favourite people on the show. She's been on many times, probably sick of the sound of my voice, but she has agreed to do another interview. It's the new coach of the Utah Royals, Laura Harvey. Laura, we're speaking just before Christmas. You geared up? You got your presents all wrapped up?
Yeah, I'm pretty prepared and... Christmas back in England, so the weather's been kind so far, which is nice.
Well, look, we could talk about Christmas presents, Christmas carols, the new year, all we want, but we should look ahead to what's going to be an exciting 2018 for you. As we mentioned in the intro, the first coach of the new Utah Royals and WSL franchise. I guess the first question is, how have the first few weeks been since the news broke? I'm sure you've been inundated with text messages, emails, people wanting to probably congratulate you, and also Seattle Reign fans probably wanting to strangle you for leaving them. But how's it been the first few weeks?
Yeah, it's been busy. It's been a bit of a whirlwind, honestly, from you know, getting the news out that I was leaving the Reign to then deciding to take the Utah Royals job. Was it just seemed like a really big whirlwind. And you know, since I've accepted the job, I've been out to Salt Lake a few times, and obviously at this time of year it's always crazy with the league, just in terms of preparation for the new season. And I feel like I'm gone back in time a little bit in terms of year one stuff that I dealt with the Reign, but thankfully this time we've got a really good group of players to work with. And as ever, you know, I think there'll be movement within the league, I'm sure. But yeah, this time of year tends to be pretty hectic no matter where you are in the NWSL. So it's, yeah, just a whirlwind. And obviously being back in England now for Christmas, at least I get a bit of time difference to have a bit of a breather before it all kicks in January.
It's not quite the same, I appreciate, as starting a completely new team like the Seattle Reign was back in 2013. But how much of an advantage do you think it is that you've been through that process of a new team starting, you're going into a new city where women's football, professional women's football, is going to be new to the city of Salt Lake. Due to the experiences that you had in Seattle, how much do you think you can take from the learnings of starting up the team in Seattle into Utah?
Yeah, a lot, because I think that we've got great resources at the club. But obviously, out of everybody involved at the club, I have the most experience right now of working in the NWSL. So I think those two things collectively, just having that experience and knowing how things work in the league, is a huge advantage from, you know, way back in 2013 when we were doing it with the Reign, because it wasn't just us that were doing it for the first time. It was everybody. So I think having that experience is great, and the resources that we've got, you know, within the front office at Real Salt Lake is different. It's a much bigger setup, just in terms of personnel. So yeah, the process so far has been great. And I think that we're going to put ourselves in a good position for 2018.
When you learn of their interest, and we'll talk about the approach and what it was that convinced you to go there, did you speak to any of the head coaches who are with NWSL franchises that have that MLS affiliation? Obviously Seattle Reign was an independent organization, but we have the Orlando Pride, we have the Houston Dash, the Portland Thorns, who are all MLS affiliated. Of course, North Carolina Courage have the relationship with North Carolina FC. Did you speak to any of the coaches about how the setup might be a little bit different?
Not in detail. I think I spoke briefly to Mark just about a few things, because obviously he'd seen both sides of it too. But nothing in detail, because honestly, it all happened really, really quickly. I think it was 4 days, maybe, the whole process was. It wasn't a dragged out thing. So, yeah, I think since then, I think each club runs pretty differently too. I'm sort of working that out. And the thing that I've realised in Salt Lake is it's very community based. You know, even from MLS down, I would say it's all about everybody working together and everybody making sure that each part of the club has exactly what they need to be successful, no matter which team you are. And I think from the owner down, that's sort of the philosophy is, you know, can we create an environment for each team, whether it be the MLS team or the USL team or obviously now us or the academy, you know, can they be provided with the best environment possible to be successful? So I think that's been a really nice thing to be a part of, which I'm excited to grow too, which is exactly how I've been at the Reign. You know, growing something from new was really exciting for me, and I think this has the same excitement around it for me right now.
We'll talk about the Reign shortly, but I had the privilege of coming out to Seattle in 2014 and saw firsthand the work that you were doing. I spoke to players about, you know, the relationship that they had with you, and really none of them had anything but positive things to say. Utah must have put a pretty good sales pitch to you for you to convince you that was where your future should lie, because I know how much that Seattle team meant to you. So what was it that Deloy Hansen, the owner of Real Salt Lake and of course now the Utah Royals, said to you that made you think, this is where I want to be?
Honestly, it was his passion, his enthusiasm, his want for equality, which I was really warmed by. I think his desire to get involved in a league where he really feels he can help change and grow and push it forward. You know, obviously I had that's what sold Seattle Reign to me when I was at Arsenal, was that when I got on the phone with Bill, I had the same conversation. And when I got on the phone with Deloy, it was really similar. And that was the initial conversation. And then, I don't know, 3 days later, maybe I actually flew to Salt Lake and met up with everybody. And once I got there, you could just tell straight away that it wasn't just all talk. I think it was, even though everything was happening so quickly for the club, they had this vision of what they wanted it to look like, from what the locker rooms are going to be like, where the players are going to train, where the players are going to live, how they're going to be treated. You know, everything was already starting to happen. And I knew that they literally signed to be part of the league maybe a day before I arrived in Salt Lake. So to even see how quickly they were acting on things just proved how passionate they were to make sure it was done right. And then, you know, I met a couple of the other people at the club, and you could just tell straight away that this person in Deloy, he breeds this enthusiasm throughout everybody. And not just for soccer, I don't think. I just think for everything to do with the club and the community. So the fact that there wasn't a women's professional soccer team in Salt Lake, he didn't like that. He wanted to change that. And he doesn't just want to play at it. He wants it to be the best it can possibly be, with great fan base, you know, great players, a great environment for the players to be in. And I was just like, wow. And I saw the facility. Then I went around and saw all the facilities that we will have access to. Obviously saw the stadium, and I was just like, I'm not sure I can turn my back on this. And that was it, really. That was it. It's just his passion was just something that was infectious.
You've talked a lot about the facilities that are going to be available to you. You talked about Deloy's passion for making this team a success. Obviously, you have a roster, you have a team of players already that you'll be joining. The likes of the obvious names are the likes of Becky Sauerbrunn and Sydney LaRue, US internationals, experienced players like Yael Averbuchsen, good young players, Shay Groom. What do you make of the roster that you have that you're going to be inheriting, and how good do you think it can be? Because we've seen over the years, you know, two NWSL titles as FC Kansas City, couple of years where they haven't made the playoffs, but what do you make of the roster that you're inheriting?
Well, you know, it knows how to win. You know, I think it knows what success feels like and what that tastes like. And when you know what that tastes like, you always want to go and get it again. and speaking to a lot of the players already, you can sense that in them. You know, I think there's areas and things that I think we need to be better at. The same with the rain from last year, because neither team made the playoffs. So I would have said exactly the same about the rain. And I think the same with this team. I think things may need to tweak and change a little bit so that we can push ourselves to where we want to be. But I think that, you know, to have such a strong base to work from is fantastic. And I'm really excited for that.
How much do you want to try and incorporate what you had in Seattle into your new team? I know that, as I said, I saw firsthand that you're known for being a coach that has that right balance between camaraderie and players getting their head down when the job needs to be done. Is that the sort of approach that you want to take into your new team?
Well, I just think that's who I am. You know, I think if I tried anything different, then I would just not be who I am. You know, obviously there's different personal relationships that you'll build with individuals over time, I would think, but just as a general outlay, I think that's who I am. You know, that's the person that I've been, and I say it on all the coaching licenses I go on, and when people ask me to talk to different coaching groups, I say it all the time, is my biggest advice to anyone coaching is be yourself. So that would be exactly what I would advise myself going into my new job, is be myself, and be the best version of that if I can be. So I think that, yeah, I think it'll be very similar the way I approach it.
How different is it going to be? You know, you had complete control from the off in Seattle as to the roster that you were going to build. As we've said, you have a roster there where the players know each other. They've worked with the same coach since the inaugural season of the NWSL. How excited are you to get going with those players? But how daunting is it also when you go into a new team like that?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, a little bit of both, really. I think that obviously Vlatko's a fantastic coach. That's why I helped Bill go and get him, because I thought he was the right person to move the rein on. And, you know, going into an environment where I know that they've been around a fantastic coach is daunting, but it's a challenge that I want to step up for, because that's who I am. And, you know, obviously at Arsenal, I had a similar challenge. You know, I was stepping into a role of somebody who had been uber successful, probably never going to be matched again ever. And again, I think as long as you are yourself and you believe in what you're saying and what you're doing, then you can look yourself in the mirror at the end of the day and say that you tried to do the right thing. And I think that, you know, speaking to the players, I think they feel the same. I think both ways, I think with the rain and with the Utah Royals, there's an excitement through the players that it's something going to be different. You know, I think that's important, I think, honestly.
How pleasing is it that you're going to be in the dugout for Utah? Because as FC Kansas City, I think it would be fair to say they're a little bit of a bogey side for Seattle. So how pleased are you that you're going to be with them rather than against them?
Well, let's hope that continues. I think, yeah, you know, it's been funny when I've spoken to most of the players. I think that's been my opening line, was that, you know, they've been my nemesis for, you know, 5 years, and it's nice to now be on the same side as them. So yeah, it's weird. You know, I'm not sure in most professional sports you'd see what's happened with me and Vlatko, but, you know, it is what it is. It's quite amusing to me, actually. But I think that I just think it's the right fit, honestly. And I think speaking to the players, you can tell that they were very apprehensive, I think, about the move. And obviously when Vlatko left, they didn't know what was happening with FC Kansas City. And I think that bred a little bit of uncertainty throughout of them. And then obviously Salt Lake coming in and creating the Royals, I think, has calmed a lot of that for them. And then I've been trying to speak to most of them throughout the last month or whatever it's been now. And, you know, once you speak to them and they hear what we're looking to try and do and stuff, I think you can tell in the way that they are that their apprehensions are sort of calmed, which is great. So, yeah, I'm just excited to honestly get started. I mean, most people who know me know I hate the off season. I love just being out on the field and working with the players. So that's what I'm just really looking forward to.
Now, you said in your opening line for the teleconference when us journalists were able to dial in, your opening line was, you thought you'd got rid of me, but you haven't. Well, you thought you got rid of me, and you didn't. How close were we to having got rid of Laura Harvey from the NWSL? Because there were suggestions that there might be a role within US soccer. Your name was very closely linked with the England head coaching job, which I'm going to ask you about in a second. But when you resigned from Seattle, the Utah job wasn't actually on the radar, was it? So how close were we to losing Laura Harvey from the NWSL?
Oh, yeah, I had no idea, or not, hadn't contemplated for 1 minute that I'd go back into the NWSL. Not now, anyway. It wasn't on the agenda at all. And it's, you know, it's funny, when I left the Reign, I think me and Bill spoke the week of the championship game, or maybe the day of the championship game was the day that I officially said I was going to go. But we didn't say anything publicly until we were able to find the replacement, because we wanted it to not be something that was out in the air. We wanted the Reign fans to see that I'd gone, but know that the club were in good hands. And so that delay of timing looked like that this was pretty close, but it really wasn't. When I first left, there was no indication at all that I was going to come back to the NWSL. And yeah, there was multiple conversations that happened around different opportunities, but I think I really love being in America. I love living there. I love the way of life. And that was something I wanted to continue to do. This opportunity came up, and along with a couple of other ones, but I think that this was the right one for me.
I have to ask, because I'll get hammered if I don't. Obviously, there's a lot of talk at the moment about the England head coaching job. Baroness Sue Campbell has come out the day we're actually recording and said that they're struggling, or the FA is struggling, to get female coaching interest in the role, or there seems to be a shortage of female candidates. I mean, was that ever a possibility? I'm not going to ask whether about, you know, in-depth conversations or anything like that, but was that ever on the radar? And if it was, what was it that kind of made you think, no, the NWSL in the States is where I want to be?
I think personally for me, right now, being in America is the right place for me, I think, both personally and professionally. And that's ultimately why, obviously, the England job is a huge job, and it would be a huge honour to ever be considered for that role. And to even be in the conversations was flat, super flattering. And I just feel, for me right now, being in the States is the right place. And I feel like I've got unfinished business, honestly, out there, because, you know, I haven't achieved what I really wanted to. And I think that the England job for me is something that, it's a pinnacle, you know, it's probably the pinnacle of most people's career. And I think I'm young enough to say right now that I don't know whether being at the pinnacle is the right, I'm ready for that yet. And that was ultimately why I want to stay in the States. You know, I think that that is where I want to be. I feel like, you know, I really feel like I've got unfinished business, and I've got that itch to want to prove to myself, most importantly, that I can go to a different club. And club environment is I really enjoy club environment. It's the thing I've known the most out of all of my career. And I'm just super excited to be able to keep doing that, because that is, it's a huge, you know, being the manager of the Utah Roars is a huge job. And I was super honoured to even get a phone call from them. So I think that having the opportunity to stay in America right now is the biggest driver of that.
We've been in the States since 2013, when you took on the Seattle Reign, when the NWSL launched. And I've already said it a couple of times, I know how much that franchise meant to you. The role at Utah came up after you had stepped away from the position. What was it that made you think now's the time to step away from Seattle and for them to maybe be led by someone different?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that went into that decision. I think, you know, personal pride was a little bit of that. You know, I think that Bill and Teresa had been so good to me. And, you know, we had more of a relationship and do have more of a relationship than employer and employee. But I felt that, you know, for the club as well as for myself, it just needed something different. And I always felt that that was going to be a really difficult conversation for me and Bill to have because of the relationship we have. But once we started to have it, and I was saying to him, you know, the things that were going through my mind at the time in terms of different opportunities and stuff, I gradually felt like a weight was being lifted because I just felt it was the right thing for the club deep down. And I think that, you know, once we both started to talk about it and we were okay with it, and obviously then we then started to talk about an opportunity to potentially get Vlatko, I felt that then it just felt it was the right thing. And I think that that was ultimately it. And, you know, being brutal, I think that the last 2 years we didn't achieve what we should have done, and the responsibility of that is ultimately on me. And, you know, I'm a pretty proud person, and I would sit at home and question myself more than I would question anybody else about that. And, you know, I think there was a lot of things that went on throughout the last 2 years, but I think that I just felt it was time for a change. And I think Seattle's the longest job I've ever had. So I think that in some ways my own itchy feet a little bit was a part to play of, you know, is this what, am I doing the right thing by staying, or do I need to look at something different and allow the club to flourish without me? Because, you know, I do think that Vlatko is a fantastic coach, fantastic person, and having a fresh face and a new voice in the club is a positive thing.
I've got to ask, I know it's the answer's going to be, but how much are you going to miss Seattle? You know, you built up more than just a club, didn't you? You built a team, you built a franchise, you built an interest in the club as well. How much are you going to miss the club, the team, the coffee, the city? Because it's, as I say, firsthand I've seen it. Great city, great place to have a sports team, without doubt.
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny because one of my friends who moved to America at a similar time to me has always said that the first place that she ended up living, she'll always probably call home in America. And I think similar about Seattle. I think that I'll always feel like it's a place that I sort of belong at. And I think that's because it's the first place I went to after being in England. And I think that, you know, I was packing up my apartment, whatever, a week ago. And leaving it's tough. I mean, you've driven down the road that I live on, and just leaving that place is going to be really difficult. And I think that, you know, the club and Bill and Teresa and everything around the club, it's just special, I think. And I don't think that'll ever change. And I think the funniest day will be when I have to go back to Memorial and coach there, because I think that it's just going to be weird. And I'm excited about it. Like, I love that challenge, I think. But yeah, it's always going to have a special place in my heart. And I think that the way that the league works, obviously there's no real chance to explode a team and bring everybody with me, which, you know, I think is a positive thing. They need to hear somebody's voice that's a little bit different, I think, right now. But, you know, the other way that the league works is there's trades going on, so who knows what happens. So, you know, I think that's the joys of the NWSL. But, yeah, it will always be a special place. And Seattle's a fantastic city. Obviously, the water and the mountains and stuff. But I'm super excited to go to Salt Lake and ski. I can't wait for that.
You got any highlights from the time in Seattle that you sort of look back on fondly?
Oh, yeah, loads. I think the first game where we won in year one away in Boston is definitely one. It was just so emotional. I just remember Teresa coming on the field at the end of the game crying and everyone just hugging and we'd won one game out of 10. And then, you know, the 14 and 15 season, there was a ton of highs. I think Mariah scoring in the playoff semi-final is a standout to me. And Kim Little's hat-trick in Houston are standouts because we just played great football and great people, and we just had a drive about us that was crazy. And yeah, good things. I mean, and Bill, bless him, in, I think it was 2014, didn't shave while we on our unbeaten run. So he went 16 games without having a shave, which I'm not sure Therese was too happy about. That was a good one.
I've got to ask about, I don't like picking out individuals too much, but talk to me about Jess Fishlock, because, you know, she came over from, I guess, to America, Americans, a little known Bristol Academy as it was then. And you showed a lot of faith in taking her over there. And it could have gone one way or the other for Jess, but I think a lot of people would agree that she's not now only one of the faces of the franchise, but one of the faces of the league. And you've seen her develop over the last 5 years into a player that doesn't get probably the accolades in terms of being voted on lists and for trophies and things like that, but develop into probably one of the best midfielders in the world. And I guess you must take a lot of pride in having seen that development over the last few years.
Well, yeah, I think the thing with Jess was she just needed that exposure, honestly. I just think she needed the exposure, and she got it. She got it the year before she came to the Reign in England by winning the Player of the Year. And she was definitely the best player in the WSL in 2012. And then I think the timing was just a really good timing for her to leave Bristol and come to the States, you know, just coming back off the back of a fantastic season with Bristol. And, you know, timing's everything in football normally, and Jess is a really good example of that. And I think she, as much as I gave faith in her, I think she put a lot of faith in me. And, it, you know, that first year, she probably thought she'd made the biggest mistake of her career. But you could just tell she was... I think she's made for the American League. You know, the way that she plays the game, her intensity, her willingness to want to win. It's just built for that environment. And I think that's why she's been able to have such success there, is because of who she ultimately is. And I think that... she's nowhere near stopping yet. You know, she wants to continue and keep driving, and I know she's going to be the biggest pain to me when I play against them, for sure. I can guarantee that.
And before anyone accuses me of belittling Bristol Academy, I was referring to some Americans that probably didn't know much about Bristol Academy. It was in no way saying that they're a small club. But I want to come back to something that you said before, and I probably should have followed it up before the question about Jess. You mentioned there the difficult period that you had at the start of your time in Seattle, where it was, what, 10 games before you got that first win. You talked about that relationship that you've had with Bill and the faith that he showed in you. Mm-hmm. How important was it that he gave you the time and the chance to turn that around? Because a more trigger-happy, less patient owner could potentially have fired a head coach who went the first 10 games without a win. And your time and your legacy in America could have been a lot shorter, and we could be talking about a different position that you're in now.
Oh, yeah, well, I owe tons to him and Teresa. Loads. You know, to go 9 games without a win, with such high expectations, I think was crazy. I remember sitting in Portland when we'd lost. I can't remember what game it was that we lost, but it was in June time, and just remember sitting on the stairs after the game and just thinking to myself, I can't keep doing this, you know. I felt like I was bashing my head against a brick wall, you know. And I think he was the one arguably that kept me going a lot of the time, you know, all the other people around me, but his faith in what we were trying to do was what kept me sane, I think. And then you know, once we got Hope back into the team and Pino came into the team, I think all the things that we'd been doing, because we weren't that far away from being good, started to show in our games, because we had someone who could put the ball in the net, and Pino scored a lot of goals that year with the amount of games she played. And we had someone in goal that just had this aura about her, you know, this presence about her that sort of changed the mentality a little bit of people around her, because, you know, Hope's a winner, and she just kept dragging. And, you know, bless Beitos and Cops, they'd just been in this thing with us all season of trying to drag this through, and then these two come in and just ignited this, you know, win in us, and we then just pushed on. And but thankfully I had the time to do that. And I will always say and never ever take away from the fact that without Bill and Teresa, I'd know I would never ever have the opportunities in the game that I have now.
It's probably a difficult question to answer, and I apologise for asking it, but how do you look back and summarise the time that you had coaching Hope? You talked about the aura that she had. I know when I've spoken to you in the past, you've said what a great mentor she was for the backup keepers, as they were when she was in the starting lineup. But she hasn't, you know, she's had her controversies as well during your spell in Seattle, and obviously you've had some issues off the field to have to deal with that could have potentially influenced what was going on the field. How do you summarise the time that you had with Hope in Seattle?
I'd summarise it by the girl's a winner, you know, and when you're surrounded by that, you just see this attitude on the field when we would train, when we would play, that you just couldn't help but stand back and be impressed about. I think there was times where things in our life took over that affected some of the things around the game. But whenever she was in our group, in and around our group on the field, you know, she would push us on. And, you know, I never really saw or felt how influential she was until she wasn't there anymore. And that was really tough because, you know, it's hard to look back on someone and say how influential they are at the time. But someone like Hope just had this drive about her where she wanted to be the best. And I think she felt like our environment allowed her to be the best. You know, I wish for her that we'd been able to win a championship, because I felt like some of her play at times deserved that. But I think that, you know, if you look back on her Seattle Reign career, you can't help but look back on it and say, when she was on the field, she made our team better. And if you're a goalkeeper, to say that about you, you know you're doing something right. And that's ultimately Hope. And, you know, when I told her I was leaving the Reign, she was one of the first players out of everybody that just said, oh, I can't believe you're leaving without winning the championship. That's really, like, disheartening, and I'm gutted for you that you haven't got that. And that sums her up. She's a winner. That's what she wanted.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure no question her ability and the influence that she had on that team, as you say, when she was available. I should finish off talk on Seattle, really, by just asking, you know, how much... You mentioned how weird it's going to be to go back to Memorial. What about the fans and the people that you had around you? I know that they really warmed to you and made you feel very welcome. That must be, I guess it will be a combination of a tint of sadness, but also, you know, happiness to go back and see them when you do play at Memorial. And you've got to remember which dugout to go into as well.
Yeah, I know. Thankfully, it's the first one, I think, but unless they change it. But that might make it easier for me. No, I think that obviously the fans and everybody around the club embraced me and made my life easier on and off the field by just embracing everything we were trying to do. And, you know, the fans are super loyal in Seattle, I think, and back the team no matter what. And that's what they should continue to do. And, you know, I'll always be appreciative of everything that they did for me and said about me or tried to make sure happened if I asked them to do something. You know, I think that I'm always going to be appreciative of that for sure.
I should round up a couple more just on Utah to finish. Can you tell us a bit more about Scott Parkinson, the guy that you've brought in as your assistant coach? Maybe a few people don't know so much about him. What was it that kind of attracted you to bring him in and help you out with the Royals?
Yeah, I met Scott on my American B license a few years ago. We spent the week together on the coaching course and kept in touch ever since. And I've been following his career pretty closely. And there was at one point I tried to get him to come to Seattle and work with us and, you know, work in the community a little bit, but we couldn't quite work that out. And I'm just glad that I've been able to get him in, because I think he's going to be super beneficial for the players. I think he's going to be a great resource for me. He knows the game. He's played the game. He's been around women's football now for a while. You know, knows the standard. He's cut. I just every rain game, I would always get texts off him about the games and stuff. So he's an avid NWSL watcher. You know, he's studied the games a lot, and I think that he's someone that I trust too. I think he'll have my back, and I think he'll make sure that the players get whatever they need to be successful. And that's what you want from an assistant coach, is just someone that can help and benefit the players, but also is going to be honest and upfront with you whenever needed. And obviously I had that in Seattle, and it's great that I'm going to have that with Scott.
And a light-hearted one to round off this interview, because we've already talked about the serious and the not so serious side of your approach to coaching. Will you be taking the donkey t-shirt over to Utah with you? For people who've listened to some of your previous interviews, you had a donkey of the day t-shirt at the Seattle Reign, where a player, if they'd done something stupid, had to wear a bright pink donkey t-shirt for the next training session. Will that be introduced in Utah?
Yes, I'm sure it will be. You know, I think it's a Laura Harvey thing, I think, more than a Seattle Reign thing. So yeah, that'll be coming with me.
Great stuff. Well, I look forward to some videos of players having to wear that t-shirt. We saw many in Seattle have the displeasure of having to wear it. But look, Laura, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the insight, talking about the challenges ahead and some of the memories in Seattle. Really, really wish you well in the new job, and we'll have to get out there and see a couple of games when I get the opportunity.